Staying with the president's State of the Union speech last night, we'll focus on some key economic issues Joe Biden addressed. I'm David Brancaccio. A CBS News poll out this week found only 39% of Americans rate the U.S. economy as good, yet that percentage is up, and it's the highest rating on the economy in this poll since the autumn of 2021. Still, President Biden addressed economic issues head on.
The racial wealth gap is as small as it's been in 20 years. Wages keep going up. Inflation keeps coming down. Inflation has dropped from 9% to 3%, the lowest in the world, and tending lower.
Fact check, it's most of the developed world. Belgium, the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia are among countries with lower inflation. Biden called out corporations for, in his view, taking advantage of consumers by raising prices unfairly. He also paid extended attention to his efforts to further lower prices for things like prescription drugs. He also called for raising taxes on corporations and the wealthiest of Americans, while not raising tax on families making $400,000 or less. And among new proposals dealing with high housing prices, with during this time of high mortgage rates, a temporary tax credit to assist first-time home buyers, as well as an idea to get more homes for sale on the market by offering incentives to people to trade up from their starter homes. From the other side of the aisle, Republican Senator Katie Britt of Alabama delivered the GOP response, blaming Biden for the inflation that surged as the pandemic eased.
His reckless spending dug our economy into a hole and sent the cost of living through the roof. We have the worst inflation in 40 years and the highest credit card debt in our nation's history.
Britt sees Biden policies as burdening families with high prices on things like housing or childcare.
Hardworking families are struggling to make ends meet today. And with soaring mortgage rates and sky-high childcare costs, they're also struggling to how to plan for tomorrow.
Katie Britt, Republican senator from Alabama. For more now, I'm joined by Felicia Wong, CEO of Roosevelt Forward, a sister organization to the liberal-leaning Roosevelt Institute in New York. Thank you for joining us.
Morning, David.
I mean, given public opinion polls, the president might have tiptoed around the economy. That is not what I saw.
He kept coming back to the economics over and over again, and he really showed that his administration has made a fundamental change. You know, he said trickle-down economics is over. That is a big statement.
Now, the Trump-era big tax cuts expire, and Congress will address that in 2025. You saw the president starting to put down some breadcrumbs that would represent a trail toward what the Democrats hope unfolds during what will be a raucous debate over that.
The president went big on taxes last night. You know, he said a fair tax code is how you invest in things, which is super important. And then he said, you know, for folks at home, do you really think the tax code is fair? That's where I think the president was hinting that there's going to be a big fight on taxes in 2025. And he named affordable childcare. He named paid sick leave. He named home care and elder care. He really hit all parts of that care infrastructure agenda. So he linked raising taxes on the wealthy and corporations. He linked that to a lot of things that Americans want.
There were some new economic proposals. One of them that stood out for me was help for people with housing. He was talking about a mortgage relief credit for first-time home buyers, $5,000 a year for just 2 years, and then provision to encourage people to sell their starter homes and move up to a bigger home, and that would open up some housing stock. What do you make of that?
The cost of housing is one of the things that really vexes many, many, many Americans. The cost of buying a home, the cost of rent, and housing supply overall. And what was notable is that both of the proposals that you mentioned, which were for first-time homeowners or for people who wanted to sell their homes early in their homeowning career, these were things that were going to get the market going. I think this administration recognizes that housing supply is a big issue. That's what those proposals were targeted at.
Felicia Wong, President and CEO of Roosevelt Forward. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, David. Great to be with you.
The banking industry is one a big one. In his semi-annual testimony to Congress this week, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell suggested there will be a scaling back of what are called the Basel III endgame proposals to require banks to keep more cash just in case. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
Wall Street CEOs have been lobbying against Basel III endgame for months. The idea was to create a bigger cushion in case there's more turmoil in the banking industry after the fall of Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic Bank and recent problems at New York Community Bank. More capital would help keep banks afloat if customers started pulling their deposits. Banks didn't like the proposal because the more capital a bank has to have, the lower its profits. They also say the mandate could cause another banking crisis because over the next couple years, lenders will face a $1.5 trillion commercial real estate loan maturity wall. Basel III Endgame was developed during the financial crisis in 2007. Changes would most greatly affect the country's 37 biggest banks. Once they're final, they'll be phased in over 3 years. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera, digital producer Dylan Mietinen, engineers Brian Allison and John Brewington. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.